Thoughts on Mark, Mark chapter 10 and verses 29 to 30. Jesus' answer, part 3. Well, we've seen in Christ's answer thus far that he's laid down definite, definitive rules, clear instructions, definite conditions, stipulations. It's all here. I tell you the truth. No one who has left home or brothers or mothers or sisters or mothers or mother or father or children or fields from me in the gospel will fail. And now we come to the promise. Put Christ first. This is his promise. Put me first. Serve me. Before family, before friends, before career, before this, before that, before everything. Put me and the gospel first. And then here is the promise. No exception, he says. No one who has left home, no one who has done anything for me, no one has given a cup of cold water in my name, no one who has done anything in by way of sacrifice. And that's the command of Paul in Romans 12, isn't it? That this is our worship, the sacrifice of praise and service and dedication, commitment to Christ, consecration to him. No one, without exception, will fail. There'll be no exception to this. Will fail to receive 100 times as much as this in the present age. What's that? Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, and so on. Now, this is the promise. Now, we're not talking about heaven here. We're not talking about eternity. We're not talking about the coming age, because Christ goes on to say, and in the coming age, in the age to come, eternal life. So we're talking about this age, this present time, this time of this humanity here, this life, this temporary life here. And there's a guarantee here. No one will fail. There's no possibility of it. You're not an exception, brother, nor you, sister. It's not for every other believer and not you. It's for all of us. And this is what we're talking about. We're not talking about the eternal state. We're talking about the temporal state. It's dogmatic. It's certain. There's no small print. There's no escape clauses. No exceptions. No getting out. No. You will receive, he says. You will gain. You will get. No one is left out. Nobody's dropped off. Left. Now, we're all awake to this, aren't we? It's well said that no one drops off to sleep, you know, when a will is being read. Well, Christ is making a tremendous promise here. Now, we must be clear about it. It's a massive promise. I can understand, I can appreciate that the prosperity gospel teachers are going to be rubbing their hands at this. Well, this is it. Well, it's clearly not material in the literal sense. Who wants 100 homes? Who wants 100 brothers, 100 sisters, 100 mothers, 100 children, 100 fields? With 100 persecutions too, we'll come to that. But who wants 100 of all these things? It's Christ speaking in these, I don't say hyperbole, but in exalted tones. He often does this as a way of teaching. He's showing the abundance that will come. Now, is he meaning physically? You know, you give a pound and you'll get 100 pound. Well, that'll undo what he's already said in verse 29 about giving up things. So, I mean, that's going to be the opposite. No, that's Tetzel, isn't it? You remember Tetzel with Luther? The moment the coin drops in the box, the sinner flies out of purgatory, the soul gets free, you know. It's money in the slot machine, isn't it? Put the penny in the slot and out comes a bar of chocolate, you know. Well, this is not what Christ is promising. It's clearly a spiritual, a figurative thing. What's the promise? Whatever you sacrifice for Christ, whatever you give up for Christ, the gain in spiritual terms, with persecution, we'll come to that, but you will gain, says Christ. You get back immensely. Read Romans chapter 16. It was a list of so-and-so and so-and-so, my mother, your mother, this mother. But what is Paul saying? I've got all these friends. How has he gained these friends? By coming to Christ. He didn't come to Christ to get friends, but the friends he got because he came to Christ. The brothers and sisters we get, the spiritual prosperity, the sense of peace, the meaning in life, and, of course, in eternity. to come. This is the point here. There is more to come, and we must go on watching this space. I'll come back to it in the next discourse, and so on. There's more to come here. But we have this much. I tell you, unbeliever, don't come to Christ for something, as it were, to gain material things out of it. Come to Christ because you need to come. You can't do anything else but come to Christ. Come to Christ desperately, nothing in your hand, but come and receive all forgiveness of sins, everlasting life, and joys inexpressible, and blessings incomparable. I cannot say what they will. All I know is, in my own experience, and from the Scripture teaching me, but my own experience confirming in it and enjoying it, I have known so much more because I've come to Christ. I would not change my blessed estate for all the world, cause good or great, and while my faith can keep her hold, I envy not the sinner's gold. I think that's what's. And that's the way of it. This is what Christ is promising here. It's not the prosperity gospel. Oh, that's rubbish. Dangerous rubbish. Delusion. But this is what Christ is promising here. Put me first, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Matthew 5-7. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Not the prosperity gospel, but the spiritual. May God bless us. I'm not saying that there is no material benefit from Christ. Those of us who are believers for a long time can testify to that. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. But the abundance of blessing is in the spiritual. And of course, don't forget, in the life to come, the age to come. Think of that.